In its pursuit of green energy, the Biden administration has given strong backing to the nascent offshore wind industry in the U.S. While Europe has 20 years of experience developing offshore wind, it's a relatively unknown quantity in North America. This spring saw the final approval for the very first commercial-scale project, Vineyard Wind, off the coast of Massachusetts. But these aren't empty seas. Plenty of other ocean users have concerns about the massive steel turbines being erected offshore, not least commercial fishing, which is a multi-million dollar industry in New England. Connecticut Public Radio's Harriet Jones reports.
52. Cotton sacks filled with shucked scallops hit the scale at Gambardella's warehouse on the town dock in Stonington. This catch is being offloaded from the Furious, a scallop boat just back from a 12-day trip.
It's one of the last places on Earth where you can go out and win or lose by your own hand.
That's owner and longtime fisherman Joe Gilbert. He runs four scallop boats out of this dock, but up in the wheelhouse of the Furious, he shows me where, in the future, this same trip might be a lot more difficult to navigate.
This area, if you look on the maps, is slated, this entire area here is slated to be a wind farm. It's an area larger than the state of Rhode Island.
A fishing advocacy group, the Responsible Offshore Development Alliance, says the massive turbines represent a hazard for vessels that may strike a tower in bad weather. The spinning blades cause radar scatter, meaning it's harder for the boats to find their target fish. And fishermen like Gilbert also worry that the massive structures will alter the ocean ecosystem as they change current patterns and cause formerly distinct layers of water to mix.
And we're racing forward without the proper science to evaluate if this is good or if this is bad.
While offshore wind is new to us in the United States, it's certainly not a new technology in other places. There's a great deal of science out there to lean on for other areas.
That's Amanda Lefton, director of the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, the federal agency which is leasing tracts of the ocean for wind projects.
As we actually seek to look at what will we actually lease, we're even further narrowing those areas to try and do our best to avoid conflicts with ocean users.
Ørsted, a Danish giant in the wind farm business, currently has five projects planned for the Atlantic coast. John O'Keefe is their head of marine affairs in North America. He says the concerns of the fishing industry have been incorporated into the process.
It's a good storyline to say that you had no input, but the reality is there's been input for years.
Ørsted recently signed an agreement with a different fishing industry group based out of Waterford. It will use its vessels for research and liaison as the turbines are placed offshore in the company's Revolution, South Fork, and Sunrise wind projects.
The spacing that is agreed to is the largest spacing in the world. One nautical mile spacing. It does not exist anywhere else.
But the coexistence of these two industries is still in doubt. In its part of the recent approval for the Vineyard Wind project, the Army Corps of Engineers stated it's likely the industry will eventually abandon commercial fishing within the new wind farms altogether because of the difficulties of navigation. Back in Stonington, that's exactly what Joe Gilbert fears. He wants to know why the turbines must be dropped on top of fishing grounds in the first place. He'd like to see them sited in deeper water, far from shore.
We're afraid we're going to lose our livelihoods. This is an existential threat to us.
Some Atlantic coast wind farm companies are in talks to establish compensation funds for economic damage to commercial fisheries. Harriet Jones, Connecticut Public Radio.